Welcome to the Interviews Podcast.
Welcome, Interisti, to episode 108 of the Interviews Podcast, the official podcast of SempreInter.com. We are here for the post-match reaction of Verona-Inter, which finishes 5-0 to the visitors at the Bentegodi. Goals from Joaquin Correa in the 17th minute. Thuram doubles up in the 22nd and 25th. Stefan De Vrij gets on the score sheet in the 31st and Bissek in the 41st. Yes, that's 5-0 in one half of football. As always, I am one half of your co-hosting duo, Alessandro Raffa, joined here by Gianni Paterno. Gianni, coming out of the international break, we've seen some games where Inter's gotten some pretty low performances, low energy, and so forth. Biggest thing for you today, the result or the fact that we went out there and just absolutely smoked Verona?
That's a tough one. I guess it's going to have to be the way that we smoked them. I think part of that too was also self-inflicted wounds by Verona. Very poor defending, playing a very dangerous offside trap game. I mean, honestly, it looked like high school errors that I was seeing out there from them. So I'm happy that we were able to capitalize on them and to have the clinical finishing that we've seen lacking for most of this season. You know, our good friend Antonio Micheli said that it's crazy that the best strike partnership that we've seen so far this season has been a Correa-Thuram one, and I'd have to agree with him there. Yeah, very happy with the result. I was glad that, you know, it was over at halftime, that they, you know, were able to rest some people and get some fresh legs out there and give minutes to people who haven't had much. So yeah, very pleased with the way we dominated.
Listen, this isn't the first time that we've seen Paolo Zanetti's side get absolutely asphalted. It's happened in the past, so we can just assess it for what it is. Obviously, you do, like you said, you have to give some credit to Verona and the way that they decided to play against us. But, you know, all we have to do as a team is play with what we're given, and we took full advantage of it. Big storyline coming into today's match was this lineup, which was featuring Aslani in front of the defense. Obviously, Hakan picked up a little knock during the international break. Doesn't look like it's too bad, but Aslani slots in at Regista. And then, of course, Joaquin Correa comes in to the strike partnership. You also had Carlos Augusto starting out left. I saw some tweets saying that this was a banter era lineup and to be prepared for a banter era performance. Is that the feeling that you had when you saw Inzaghi come out with the starting 11 that had been rumored before this match for a few days that we'd see Joaquin start? But were you, you know, expecting a shit performance?
I wouldn't say I was expecting a poor performance by the team as a whole. I was a little worried about certain individuals for sure. Obviously, specifically Aslani and Correa, they were two names that I was not too thrilled to see on the team sheet, but both of them performed very well today, to be quite honest. I can't really say anything negative about either one of them. And this is something that we were hoping, you know, we would see from Aslani. We didn't really expect to see from Correa, let's be honest, but we were hoping that something would, you know, wake up in him or ignite in him, and he would be able to grab the moment by the neck, and he did. So I didn't think banter. I know one of them, you know, I commented on it, and that person said they were joking. I'm glad, you know. So that's a win right there. But yeah, I did not expect certain guys to perform the way they did, but I'm glad they did. So
yeah. All right, let's do a quick recap of this game. So it didn't start all roses for Inter. Verona actually created the first two opportunities of the game. There was a dangerous ball in on a free kick to, I forget who actually got on the end of it, but Sommer just spills it It was kind of a, you know, a nervy start for him. Chachua gets a breakaway, plays it across the middle, and Tengstedt hits the bar. So within the first 10 minutes, Inter was, you know, looking a little shaky, in trouble, probably some valid criticisms at that point. But I feel like after Tengstedt hit the bar, we completely locked in. You have a long ball that reaches the back post. Correa ends up hitting the post with a header. And then the first goal comes, and it is a ball played across, I think, by De Vrij, to Correa, who lets it run through his legs, plays that, you know, dummy into a through ball from Thuram, and then a beautiful finish from Correa. He made that whole goal by himself, in my opinion. It was the kind of combination play that you're used to seeing from Lautaro, and Joaquin pulls it out here. And then eventually Inter gets their second, a through ball by Correa to Thuram, who rounds the keeper, puts it away. Eventually the third comes, which is a long ball to Bastoni. Again, Thuram is able to break that high line, rounds the keeper again, puts it away. Barella slots through Aslani, who cuts it back to De Vrij, rifles it into the top corner of the net. And then the fifth comes, a Mkhitaryan ball into the middle. Correa goes to dummy it through his legs again, but it actually hits off his, you know, the inside of his calf, spills out to Bisek, who hits sort of a chip shot into the ground, goes over Montipo. That's 5-0 in the first half. Not much going in the second half. Zielinski almost scored a goal on his first touch of the game. Yada, yada, yada. A bunch of, you know, the game basically just gets played out by Inter until one of the last minutes of the game, where Arnautovic lays it off for Correa, who again hits the crossbar. And that's game. 5-0. So we have to start with the man who put us on the score sheet to begin this game, the much maligned Joaquin Correa, coming into this game likely fifth on the depth chart for a lot of Interisti. After today, where do you put him?
Yeah, I saw one of our listeners ask that question. I think it was Nico Bucuzzi, right? Is that who it was? Who?
I think so, yep.
He's got to be third, right?
Arguably the best performance by an Inter striker, single game performance by an Inter striker this year. He has his goal, two assists.
Hold on.
A goal, two assists, hits the woodwork twice. He was the most dangerous man on the field.
Nah, Thuram had a couple braces early in the season that could have been hat tricks as well, and he was I can't disrespect Thuram like that. It is the best striker performance of anybody not named Marcus Thuram all season. That I will say, which is sad to show the state of the way things are currently at the club. You know, I think we all had high expectations for Taremi. He hasn't really met any of those. Arnautovic has just continued to regress, and we could talk about it later, but I was very disappointed with his performance today. He might be the only person who I was not pleased with at all, and it was more so a body language thing than anything. If you saw the way he was running, his head down and stuff, we could discuss that a little bit later, but yeah, no, I think Correa, and it pains me to say this, because is this where we're at? That he is really the third best option that we have right now? That if
I don't know
God
that
forbid,
he's the third, but he's absolutely leapfrog Arnautovic at this point.
Without a doubt.
After the comments that Arnautovic made earlier in the week, where he was talking about only the real Inter fans love me, he mentioned like how hard it is. He's used to being a starter, how hard it is to come off the bench. And then, you know, he did have a nice layoff for Correa today. But if Correa is able to play a role similar to what we were hoping Goodmanson could come into the team and play, which is, you know, drop a little bit deeper, link up with the midfield, can play those through balls, obviously, you know, dangerous as a finisher. If Correa is able to do that, then you really have to ask, like, what does Arnautovic, what is he bringing to the table at this point? I think Correa has jumped up the depth chart at least over Marco.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, Arnautovic has been a huge disappointment. Not done a lot of things right this season. And the attitude, it's disappointing of a player of his age, a player of his, I don't want to say stature, because it's not like he's a known superstar or anything like that, but a player who has established a career for over a decade now. So you would think he would understand the ebbs and flows of a season, the ups and downs, and how you're not going to stay at the highest peak all season long, and you're going to have instances where you are, you know, not able to find the score sheet. But you can't let it affect you and affect your attitude and show so obviously on the pitch. So it's a little disappointing for sure to see that type of attitude bleed onto the field. But at this point, I don't think you're going to get a mature performance from a player who's had this much time in the league. I think he is who he is, and he's not going to change or compromise. And although I respect it to some extent, I also think that then you're doing your teammates a disservice if that's how you're going to behave. So I think, like you said, Correa has definitely leapfrogged him in the pecking order. I would make a case for Correa to be ahead of Taremi, since the guy's only scored a penalty and that's it. Hasn't really done anything else from open play. Now, he's had good games. I'm not going to say that he hasn't done anything at all, but you also hope that your third striker is able to chip in some goals, especially when you went from someone like Edin Dzeko, who, you know, would get you 13, 14, you know, 17 in all competitions off the bench. You would hope that, you know, that Emmy would do the same. And yeah, I mean, is it a little too soon to put that Emmy on fraud watch, perhaps? Do we give him more time?
It's a difficult question to answer, because from the perspective of
Habibi a problem?
From the perspective of where we are in the season, which we're now, you know, what is it, 12 match days into, or 13 match days into the Serie A campaign, halfway through the Champions League, like, that's enough time where you feel like you can assess a striker. But then, obviously, to start the season, Taremi had the injury, and then it's been cameo appearances and appearances in the Champions League, and he's done, you know, he's had good games, like you said, but it's not necessarily showing up in terms of the goal contributions. Quickly, before, you know, we get on to the rest of that, the last thing on Correa. So after this performance, how do you treat his integration into the squad, if you even want to see him integrated? Because you can make the argument Verona was the perfect opponent for him to be playing against, and this is potentially, you know, not a fraud performance, but, you know, sort of a pump your brakes thing. Because if you're looking at the fixtures coming up, you got Leipzig in the Champions League, Fiorentina, a top four side in Serie A, Parma has been playing super well, Leverkusen, and then Lazio. All teams that can do damage. Is there space for Correa to even capitalize on this performance and start getting minutes?
That's a great question. I mean, I think there is, excuse me, going to be some space for him. I think he's going to have an opportunity here to really carve out some key minutes for himself. Now, whether or not he takes advantage of those minutes, that will, you know, that I'll take with a grain of salt, only because we've seen this before. This is his team that he just owns. He shows up for, and for whatever reason, when he's at the Stadio Bentegodi, he's a beast. He's an absolute animal there. And, you know, I tweeted out a gif of him as Prime R9. You know, whenever he seems to go up against Hellas, that's who he becomes for whatever reason. So let's curb expectations for what he can do the rest of the year. But I do think he's earned the opportunity to get more minutes, and especially given the way that our other strikers have performed all season. So let's, hope for the best hope for the best and expect the worst with him.
Yeah.
And also, we know how his health is. He could pick up a knock in training and then he's out 2, 3, 4 weeks, you know? So I don't wish that. I don't hope that, but it's possible, right? So,
yeah, and you could also see how much the actual Inter squad was really behind him, like that they wanted to see him succeed. Apparently, they had known yesterday that he was going to go ahead and get this start, and you can see on social media how much they're supporting him, on the pitch, how much they're supporting him. And it's crazy. Like this is the life sometimes. Like he has been, you know, public enemy number one for Interisti for so long. Like, get this guy off my team and so forth. But that's what I'm saying. All the praise that you see from Interisti today, the fact that we're even having a conversation about Izzy climbing up the depth chart, the fact that, you know, his teammates obviously love him. Like, did he just open the door for his Inter career to get revived? You know, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. It's also interesting, again, looking at those fixture lists, like Leipzig is not a team that sits back. Fiorentina is not a team that sits back. Parma is not a team that sits back. So if this guy is a guy that can help unlock these high lines, all of a sudden, you know, just worked himself into potentially an important role, which is not something that we were thinking about coming into this season. Just crazy how things work. We've got to, you know, talk about another player who I tweeted before the game that I hoped he was going to have a performance that wouldn't lead us to talking about him the entire time on this podcast. Christian Aslani stepped in today. Again, like we mentioned, giving Çalhanoğlu a much needed rest. I thought he was great. He obviously had an assist today, only one shot on goal, but he was 113 out of 115 for a 98% passing accuracy, two chances created. It definitely looks different than Çalhanoğlu. It definitely looks different than Çalhanoğlu. There's less incisiveness, but, you know, for the most part, he was able to see this game out. What did you think of Aslani's performance today?
Very good. He definitely felt more comfortable out on the pitch. I thought that his decision-making was great. That's typically a thing where I think he doesn't take advantage of, or doesn't even do well, I should say. A lot of times he's misplaying passes. He's turning himself into dangerous areas in the middle of the pitch that's leading to turnovers, that leads to counterattacks, and then you're like, oh boy, here it comes. And I can only think of like one instance where he did turn back, and it was inside the 18 in the first half, but he was able to boot it up the pitch, which I thought was a huge thing too, to kind of be able to get away from the Hellas pressure in that instance. So listen, the assist was great. Movement was great. I've got really no complaints about him, like I said from the beginning of the episode. So I'm very happy that he was able to take advantage of this. I think that curbs a lot of Interisti's mindset that we should find a replacement, myself included. Now that doesn't mean that I'm all of a sudden like now I'm over somewhere at Ricci or anything like that, but it does give you a little bit of hope that, hey, maybe this guy is finding his footing. And like I've said, you know, many times, I never root for a player's failure at Inter. I want them to come good because this is my club. This is all of our clubs. So like, we should never be rooting against players. I can understand frustration with certain guys, you know, and it doesn't mean that they're absolved of any criticism. But it's nice to see that he's able to put it together, at least for this match, and hopefully he can continue to go forward, because we're going to see that the guys are going to need some rest. There's going to have to be some heavy rotation. Are they going to be able to still put out the same performances week in and week out if there is heavy rotation? And coming out of the international break, this is a very good start.
Yeah, he still looks a little bit like a baby deer on defense sometimes, like just physically, there's still a lot of growth to be done there. But I think it was an important game for him, not only because, you know, Interisti have been getting to the point of pretty fed up with him. Like, you got to start performing. And he did his job today. It wasn't spectacular. He just did his job, which, you know, we're not going to get too carried away with. But again, like you said, it provides you with a little bit of confidence. I think the other part of this that's interesting is that his counterpart on the field today, Belayan of Verona, is a player that Inter's been linked to. A lot of Interisti, you know, liked what they saw from him. He had a decent game today, but it was important for him to, you know, just show up against a player that's potentially his replacement. What did you make of Belayan's performance today, by the way? Opportunity to scout him a little bit.
I was a fan of what I saw today. You know, I had paid attention very little to him. Let's be honest. I'm not going to go out of my way to watch a Hellas Verona game. I'd heard the name. I'd seen YouTube comps, but that's always not always the best way to indicate if a player would be good for your club or not, right? Like, I mean, I was fooled greatly by Ruben Bota. So let's let's see what he did. And he came out, and I thought he actually held his own very well. Very shifty player himself. Yeah. He's able to drop his shoulder, kind of like Zielinski is, make space for himself. He had a few little like one touch dribbles where he was able to kind of beat his man, and either I'm pretty sure he megged, if I'm not mistaken, Bisek at one point. Or somebody else. It may not have been Bisek. I may be confusing him with another center back, but I thought it was Bisek. But
I think he skinned Mkhitaryan one time. That's, I remember.
Maybe
that.
That's who I'm thinking of. But yes, like, yeah, he did something to somebody and was able to maintain possession and get around the man right outside the 18. And I thought that even his passing was good. Now, he didn't have a lot of opportunities to make good passes. I mean, you know, obviously they didn't really have much of the ball, and when they did, they were quickly turning it over themselves, and you kind of had to boot it up the pitch and hope that one of your guys kind of got on the end of it. But I did like what I saw from him, and I think that there is a player there. Do I think he's ready to make a leap to Inter? Let's hold off on that, and I only say that because
I agree.
We thought the same type of thing with Aslani, and I expected him to grow much faster, and this is now, what, his third year at the club, and it's still not quite there yet, so let's not throw these young kids so quickly into the pressures of playing for one of the top four teams, whether it is Inter, Milan, whatever it may be. Not many guys right now, I would say, who are young in Serie A have the quality to do that, and a lot of the ones that do have ended up going outside of Italy. So,
yeah.
You know, and I'm thinking of like specifically, you know, a guy like Hjulmand and stuff like that. So.
I agree. I think you said it perfectly, by the way. Like, I completely agree with he's a project player, the same that Aslani was when he was brought in. Obviously, he's showing a good amount of stuff, but for what we're competing at and how much we, like, you know, groan when we see Aslani in the lineup, is it really going to be different with Belayan? Like, we should be going after, like, Ricci. Bernabe is also a much more finished product. Kuhlman, like you said, like there's players that Interisti would feel much more comfortable with having in the team as opposed to a project. So
exactly,
yeah, I thought, yeah,
and the same people who are crying about, oh, not inter quality, but then you're going around and saying that this guy's ready to come to Inter, then do you just have personal agendas against certain players in the Inter squad right now that are, you know, making you say these things? Like, that's when it gets a little ridiculous. So, you know, if you don't think player A is good enough at Inter right now, but player B, who hasn't been there and hasn't really had much experience in Serie A to begin with, is all of a sudden ready to take the leap to Inter, then to me it's just a bias. But
yeah. All right. Let's talk about Thuram. 2 goals and an assist. He's up to 9 goals in the league, 3 assists as well. So in 13 games, 12 goal contributions. Would I be wrong in saying player of the season is neck and neck between him and Lookman of Atalanta?
So I thought you were going to go in a different direction with that question. And I thought you were going to say, like, player of the year, like player of the season for Inter so far. Now where you're going about Serie A.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes it a little bit more interesting for sure. But yeah, I guess I would have this. That's tough. You know, because I was about to say, yes, I you can make that case. But then also, and I'm sure people are going to disagree, but you can make a case for Di Marco being, you know, the player of the season in Serie A because of the impact that he's had at this club. Specifically, and if people are having the conversations for who's been the best for Inter so far, then if you're going to throw Thuram in the best for the league, I think you can make, you know, Di Marco up there too. Now, do I think he would get it? I don't think we'd ever see a wing back get it. They would have to do astronomical numbers. So am I okay saying between, you know, Thuram and Lookman? Absolutely. I think they both have been tremendous players. And let's not forget, Retegui has been fantastic as well. His numbers are awesome. I think it's going to be between, honestly, Thuram and Retegui for Capocannoniere. So we'll see how it plays out at the end of the year. Health is going to be a major thing too, hoping that all these guys stay healthy. And I never want to see, you know, young star players in the Serie A go down. But Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. But so far, I like the two shouts of Lookman and Thuram for Player of the Year in Serie A.
I'm starting to feel the same way I feel about, you know, Barella being irreplaceable, Çalhanoğlu being irreplaceable. The dip in form that Lauti is experiencing this year, and shout out to Lauti, who had a, you know, phenomenal goal for Argentina this past international break. But given how unprolific the rest of our strike force has been, now Thuram is sort of entering that irreplaceable level player for Inter. Do you feel the same?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Especially given the way that he's performed this entire season. You see the dip in quality when he's definitely not in the starting 11, especially from the forward line. So yeah, I guess you could, I would say there's five players that are tough to replace in this lineup week in, week out. And it would be the two that you mentioned, Thuram, Bastoni, I would throw in there, and Di Marco as well.
Yeah.
I think those five are your, you know, for the Yankees, it was the core four. For Inter, this is the core five. And I think that you have to have them in each game, especially the big game, starting week in and week out. And you see the difference when those guys are on the pitch. Now, it was great to see Carlos Augusto there. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not trying to take away anything from him and his performance today specifically. But Di Marco is, that left foot is a gift. And the same thing you could say for Bastoni. So, but Thuram, I am comfortable putting in that upper echelon now that has to be in there.
Yeah. Also rounded the keeper twice, which, as you know, Carlo Garganese of the Italian Football Podcast, congratulations on the Football Creator Awards, by the way, guys. But yeah, he's
Silver
been waiting
place.
To see.
I mean, you know, those guys, they're just the first losers. I don't know.
Prima perdente, yeah, in the words of Antonio Conte. But yeah, rounding the keeper a couple times, we don't get to see that very often. You don't see Inter breaking through a high line very often because not a lot of teams play with a high line against Inter. So yeah, cool to see him, you know, add to his bag and get on the score sheet twice today and also get the assist for the opener. I forget exactly what minute it occurred in, but Francesco Acerbi in the 15th minute comes off the field after, in the post game, Inzaghi said that one of his legs didn't feel like the other one, that he wanted to take himself out as a precaution. They have to assess where he's going to be at. This is a player who, coming into the season, was coming off of groin surgery, has already had a couple hiccups so far this year. And then, of course, what happens today. When he's on the pitch, he's been, you know, he's been good. He's been really good, actually, when he's been on the pitch. But now it's another, you know, potential layoff for him. De Vrij comes on. Obviously, he scores a goal. He's been serviceable for us this year. But one of those two is going to get renewed for next year. I think people were leaning Acerbi given the performances, but with this injury, where are you at between Acerbi and De Vrij? Because it feels like De Vrij, you can get on the pitch, you know, knock on wood moving forward. It feels like De Vrij has the availability factor, maybe not as good of a passer as Acerbi, but where are you at with those two in terms of who's getting renewed? And how concerned are you with Acerbi's absence?
Oh, I'm extremely concerned with his absence because his quality is undeniable. But am I able to say that I would rather not sign either and hopefully go to sign one in January and then another one in the summer? Or am I not able to do that?
For the purpose of the question, let's say that one of them is absolutely going to get renewed.
Then I exercise my right to plead the fifth. No, I'm kidding. If one of them is absolutely going to get renewed, I'm going to assume that this player is going to be strictly bench roll, emergency substitution, you know, maybe a rotational type player at most. see, the thing that scares me is that I feel like this injury is really starting to show Achebe's age. And although I think in terms of quality that he is the better defender and the more serviceable player right now than De Vrij, availability is also important. And if you're going to be picking up Knox, I feel like that takes away from you. So like, is this going to turn into where next year, let's say we do sign him, but it ends up being a Cuadrado type situation where he plays maybe 7 games all season for you.
Yeah.
You know, is that what we want? Is that what we are able to do? Are we able to maintain our presence at the top of the table with someone who's not really available and we're having to lean on someone like a Palacios, which we can get into that as well today, but you know, he may not be ready for that, stepping into that limelight. Please don't hold this against me, listeners, but I would say right now I would lean Stefan De Vrij just because of the health reasons, not because of anything to do with play on the pitch, just because I would like someone who could potentially be available. But that could change, you know, in a month for all I know. So,
yeah, I'm also concerned that if Acerbi is on the team, that he's going to be Inzaghi's first choice no matter what. Like if we were to bring in, you know, a great center back, and I don't know who that could be.
I think if we sign someone, I'll just throw a name out there, not saying that we're even rumored to be, but you know, we signed someone like a Doeki,
right?
That it would still be, you still think it would still be Acerbi if he was here? And now let's factor in a full summer of training with the first team, being of like, let's say, boom, day one of the market, he's signed, right? So let's just say that everything goes perfectly. You still think that he would lean Acerbi no matter what?
The reason why I feel confident in saying yes is because this past summer, Inter signed Zielinski.
And summer or summer?
This past summer, Inter signed Zielinski, yet who the fuck gets every single start? It's still Mkhitaryan. And we see the gap in quality between those two players. Although Mickey had a good game today,
I feel like Inzaghi
plays favorites.
Yeah.
I want to ask you a question. I saw someone tweet this, and I strongly disagreed. But I'd like to see your opinion, as I think you're a little less critical than I am.
Okay.
Is Henrik Mkhitaryan one of the best signings of the last 5 years at Inter?
I saw that. It's a tough question. All right, so Thuram, absolutely. The past 5 years, Thuram. Lukaku was in the last 5 years. Hakan was in the last 5 years. Do you put Sommer being one of the best goalkeepers in Europe last year and has started decently well this year as a better signing? It's the thing with Mickey is it's never that he's been spectacular. It's just that he's been there all the time, that he just eats those minutes all the time. Pavard, Bisset.
In terms of performances for Inter, and I'm just curious. I'm not going to say you're wrong one way or another. I just want to hear your answer. I won't give my answer.
Yeah.
But in the last 5 years, would you take Christian Eriksen or Henrik Mkhitaryan?
Would I take Christian Eriksen or Henrik Mkhitaryan? I think I like Eriksen better as a player, but I think I might say Mickey for the role that he plays in the team. You wouldn't have gotten Hakan probably if it was, or Hakan would still be playing Metsala and maybe not become what he is today.
But would he? Because let's say we still sign Hakan. Wouldn't Eriksen be Metsala?
But he wasn't that good at Metsala, like until he started.
Different system, in my opinion. I think Inzaghi would allow him to be a little bit more free.
I'll go with just the better player. I'll go with Eriksen.
And you could listen, you could decide what you want. I know there's going to be people who comment on this and they're going to be like, oh, no, Eriksen, strong. Oh, Hakan's been better. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just asking if you think that in the last 5 years, who's been the better signing between Christian Eriksen and Henrik Mkhitaryan? Now, if we want to just go strictly free signings, right? Free signings, you got Thuram, Dzeko, Çalhanoğlu, Acerbi. Well, was Acerbi technically free? No, we did pay a million.
Pay like 1.5, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. All right, so let's take Acerbi out. Zielinski. I don't think there's anybody.
Much of them. Yeah.
But yeah, I think
it's an interesting question.
I don't think I could put him in my top five. Even like over the last 5 years, I don't even think he would be in my top five.
If you looked at minutes logged in the last 5 years,
then he's probably got the most of all those guys.
Yeah. Right.
Which is sad.
Exactly.
But most minutes doesn't mean most impact.
Yeah, he's played the role of workhorse, you know, box to box midfielder and providing cover. And he's done that pretty well. I think, I think you would put him in the top five. I don't have the list of all the signings in the past 5 years in front of me, but I think you would put him in the top five strictly because he's been just so ever present in the team. You know, and it's not like he's killed us. We've had a good amount of success here at this club in the last 5 years. So,
okay, hold on.
I'll put him in the top five.
Before we switch topics, I am pulling up right now from Transfer Market every signing of the last 5 years. I'm going to go from this season. The main ones we got were Zielinski, Taremi, Palacios, and Josep Martinez. I think you could put Henrik ahead of those guys right now.
Of course, yeah. Without question.
Last season, you got Pavard, Buchanan, Bisek, Sommer, Thuram, Fratesi, Augusto. That's seven.
I think right Sommer there. And Thuram, you can make an argument for.
I think you can make.
Above him.
I think you can make a case for Fratesi too, given his impact.
Strictly impact, yep.
Okay. Now, 2022-23. Just looking at who came in, the only people that I would really highlight are Onana and Acerbi. Onana, I'm definitely putting ahead of Mkhitaryan.
For getting us to
Mkhitaryan came in that year.
Yeah. For getting us to a Champions League final, you put Onana in over?
Without a question.
Okay.
Without a question. The year before that, Dumfries.
Acerbi, I think you can make a case for.
I think you can make a case for him. You got Dumfries, Dzeko.
Dzeko, you can make a case for. Chala, you definitely is over them.
And Robin Gosens, but I wouldn't really.
Yeah, so you can make a serious case that he's not in the top five. A very
and then
serious
the, and,
case
and
that
then
he's not in top
five. The cutoff 5 years ago? Hakimi, Barella, Sensi, Lukaku.
So now he's out.
Since
Barella and Lukaku are in there.
Barella, Lukaku, and Hakimi Thuram, alone. Thuram and Hakan. Out. He is not.
So technically, he barely cracks the top 10.
Barely cracks the top 10.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I am sorry, Mikey from Brothers of the World. But the facts are right there in front of you. He's not even a top 10 in the last 5 years.
Top five in minutes. That's
crazy, though. That's crazy. Yeah, it's probably not probably. He definitely is top five at minutes. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. We cleared that out. I feel better.
Cleared that up.
I feel better proving that he is not one of the top 10 players of the last 5 years. Signings of the last 5 years.
All right. Also on the score sheet, let's just talk about this back line today. Goal, Jan Bisek. Goal, Stefan De Vrij. Assist, Alessandro Bastoni. Is this the back three for us moving forward? Is it Bisek, De Vrij, Bastoni over Pavard, Acerbi, Bastoni?
Oh, wow. We're casting Pavard away, huh?
We're I know it's Verona. I know it's Verona. But from a goal contribution standpoint, De Vrij, probably the same as Acerbi as far as goals and assists, because De Vrij is such a weapon as far as the set pieces are concerned. And that's really where Acerbi can get goal contributions. Bastoni, you automatically slot in there. Pavard has never scored as an Inter player. Bisek has scored a few. Can you make a case the best goal contribution back three that we have is Bisek, De Vrij, Bastoni?
I mean, I guess we want to make that case, sure. Would this be still the back three that I would want? No. But in terms of goal contribution, yeah, I'll hear that case.
At this point, where are you with Bisek right now? Because it feels like we need him in this team playing more often. But like you said, I don't want to cast away Pavard, who his form has gotten much better. You do have to say that about Benji. Started the season real cold. Has really picked up his performances. But Bisek he's such a weapon. Every time he plays, it's like you expect him to do something crazy for you.
I feel really good about him when he's going forward with the ball. I feel good about his ability to get into the box and make things happen. I think I still need to see a little bit more defensively where I can feel comfortable with him being a regular starter. There's still errors in his game, lapses of focus. That's the only thing that worries me about Bisek. But the talent is undeniable, right? I don't think that we would... One, I don't think we could have gotten any. The fact that we were able to get this guy for a little under 7 million euros and spread out over 2 years is masterstroke work from Auxilio and company. I mean, let me ask you this.
Who ends the season with more starts at right center back? Pavard or Bisek? Because at this point, they're like a platoon, right? Like, they're basically splitting the time there. Who's going to end up with more starts at right center back? It's clear Inzaghi trusts Bisek. He's okay throwing him out there. He threw him out there against Arsenal. He threw him out there against Man City. You know, he's getting game time this year, which was, a hope. He was our preseason MVP. And now, are you looking up who's the starts?
I'm looking up how many starts so far in the league. So right now, Pavard has 10 starts in Serie A.
He's got 10 starts in Serie A. Damn.
And Jan Bisek
10
has...
out of the 13. Jan started all the Champions League games.
Oh, you know what? It doesn't show. Hold on. It shows the total. Does it show the actual starts? Maybe that's where I'm getting. Because it's 10 to 8 in appearances. Oh, here we go. View full stats. There we go. And then we'll do Bisek view full stats. So let's see. Bro, the ads on Transfer Market are insane.
I'm looking at FB Ref all competitions starts this year. Now, Benjamin Pavard 11, and Jan Bisek has 7 starts. This is in all competitions.
But in Serie A,
Bisek has 5 starts, and Benji has 8 starts. So it's 8-5 right now, and we're on match day 13. 25 games left. We're saying who has more starts in all comps or more starts.
Let's do all comps. Yeah.
So then, what was it?
It's 7 starts for Bisek to
and 11 for
11 for Pavard.
I'll say Pavard keeps the edge in starts in all comps, but I think it'll be, let's just say, out of 50 games, hypothetically. I think it'll end up being like 28-22 for Pavard.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy to say, because signed the guy for 30 million euros in his second season. Bisek has now made a significant dent into his playing time, and deservedly so.
Yeah, 100%.
Feel good about it. All right,
It's a good problem to have.
It is. Last thing to touch on for this game, I just want to touch on the substitutions that Inzaghi made. Players who featured, so obviously we've spoken about De Vrij, but Zielinski and Fratesi both came into the game, as well as Arnautovic, and a season debut for Inter, for Tejan Buchanan, after his tibia fracture, I think, in July. Players who did not come onto the pitch, Josep Martinez, maybe in a 5-0 blowout. You thought you were going to see him. Palacios, again, it's a blowout. Thought you'd see more of him after an encouraging performance against Empoli. Taremi did not see the pitch, although I think that's way less egregious given the amount of minutes that he played over the international break. So two questions. Did the right players get subbed onto the pitch? Because I know you had mentioned not seeing Palacios and were pretty upset about it. So did the right players get subbed on, number one? And number two, Josep Martinez, is it the right thing to do to sub in your backup goalkeeper in a 5-0 game? You saw Barella was telling Bisek not to celebrate too hard. Like, you don't want to be too disrespectful to the opponent. Do you think subbing in your second keeper in a 5-0 lead is exactly that? You're kind of, you know, disrespecting the opponent.
First off, shout out Barella for the maturity to go over to one of your teammates and have them kind of tone down the celebration to show a little bit of respect to your opponent. I think that's a very classy thing to do. And the only time I would want my team to disrespect another team like that is against Milan or Juve. That's what I'll end on that. In terms of substituting Josep Martinez, I think the question has to be asked right now. Is there a lack of trust from Simone Inzaghi in Josep Martinez? The rumors are circulating that Alex Meret is going to be a target next summer.
There's no way.
And let me tell you, Radio Kiss Kiss is trying to push this stupid agenda hard. And I thought it was the most ridiculous rumor I've ever heard in my life.
It's clearly an agent trying to drum up interest. Clearly.
100% that. But some Interisti refuse to understand that. They also think that because Martinez hasn't gotten a start so far this season, that it's an exact correlation that he's not in Inzaghi's plans and that he is not trusted. I pulled up when Emil Ardero played his first match last season.
Oh, this is a good idea.
November 29th. It was a meaningless Champions League game that ended up being a 3-3 draw with Benfica away, where we had heavy, I think it was 8 new starters in that match, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Definitely at least 6. I believe it was 8.
Yeah.
And you're going to tell me that Simone Inzaghi says, oh, yes, I trust Emil Ardero more than I trust Josep Martinez. Like, let's think about that for a second.
It's a good point. And it's also, it's not like we've been playing meaningless games. Like, we're literally in a battle for the top of Serie A. We're still have to qualify in order to save us 2 games in the Champions League. Coppa Italia doesn't start for another 6 matches against Udinese.
And that's likely that we're going to see our first appearance from Joseph Martinez, unless we're able to wrap up the Champions League, like qualify.
Win against Leipzig, yeah.
Yeah, which might do it then. And then maybe you'll see him a little bit sooner.
Those last two games against Monaco and...
not to mention...
Who's... Yeah.
Sommer is under contract till 2026. You just signed Joseph Martinez. And now you're going to go and what? Let, you know, terminate Sommer's contract or send out Martinez on loan and bring in Alex Meret of all goalkeepers? Did you see the goal he allowed against Inter? We talked about how you would expect your goalkeeper to make that save or have a stronger hand in that instance. And now you want to bring in a guy who looks like...
Also the farthest thing from a Simone keeper. Like, the farthest thing.
Yeah, he can't play with the ball at his feet. Like, can we please, please, I'm not saying I know better than you. I'm not saying I'm smarter than you. All I'm saying is let's think logically. Let's just think logically. That's it. Let's have a conversation like this and talk it out and think about what makes the most sense. Would we have spent $15 million on a guy to then cast away, to then spend money to bring in another keeper?
But that is the reason why this is the conversation that's happening, is because it was an investment. And anytime the club spends money, there's a thing that, like, we have to see the new signing. We have to see this player that we invested in. When the reality of, like, if their plan is to have him be the keeper for the next 5 to 7 years, it doesn't matter that he hasn't started a game this season until November. It just doesn't.
But let's also
that a lot of people have the foresight. It's like, you spent the money. Where is he?
He's not a midfielder. He's not an outfield player. Only one goalkeeper gets to start. Jan Sommer has not been bad. He's had a couple shaky moments. And the only game actually that he's been bad actually was the game against Juve. That's it. He won us the game against Venezia. He's won us other games this season. Let's show some respect for your starting goalkeeper. You just because we spent money doesn't mean that's it. All right, Sommer benched. Bye-bye.
Right.
I don't know.
There's a long-term plan here that I don't think 100% people on Twitter should that have patience for, but I think that that's okay. Like, if the you know, thing that we're talking about is like, why is the second goalkeeper starting in your last 11 games, your 9 wins and 2 draws? Like, we're just grasping at straws here to find things to be upset about. All right, so that's the Joseph Martinez thing. Tell me about the subs that we did see today, because I know you were upset about not seeing Palacios. Where are you now with that?
Yeah, in my opinion, this was a game that we didn't need to see Fratesi. I don't think we needed to see Arnautovic. This would have been a game where it would have been better to see a guy like Palacios get in there. And you could see what he has to offer. You could see what he brings to the team. We liked what we saw in his little brief cameo, like you said, against Empoli. But now it's like, let's get him a little bit more minutes. What if De Vrij gets hurt tomorrow? So now you're out Acerbi and De Vrij. What are you gonna do? Just rely on Pavard,
DiMarco, Bisek, left wing, Carlos Augusto, left center back, Bastoni.
And that's it then.
That's what he would do. That's what he would do. But I get what you're saying, because you also like they did switch up their formation a little bit as well when they made these subs.
They did.
Like, they did go to a back four. It was a different look. And what you're saying of, like, did we need to see Arnautovic? No, because although Thuram did need to come off the pitch, there's no reason he needed 90 against Verona. You could have still had Fratesi, Correa as the lone striker up front, Fratesi playing off him as the center, the second striker. You could have slotted in Palacios for Bastoni. So I don't fault the thinking there, because I do think that this would have been a great game for him to play. Not to mention that would have made his two first appearances for Inter away games against lower table Serie A sides. Like, it's as in both of those games, we had 3 goal plus leads. So it's as low impact as it gets, right? Like, it's kind of the perfect time to see him. So yeah, I get the frustration, and also from other Interisti that want to see him, because the kid is 6'5" and he's got handles and dribbles, and it's like you want to see what that looks like.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think there's I think there could be something there. I mean, we liked what we've seen in the limited opportunity we've been able to see him. So that's something I want to know what we have, right? I want to know what type of potential we have there, and if it could be something where it's like, you know, a stalwart in your back three for many years to come, and you're hopeful there. I don't know what reason it was that he wasn't utilized, but you know what? That's for Simone to know and for us to sit here and discuss, right? Like, we're going to have our own opinions and questions and stuff. And I don't think, you know, in the grand scheme of things, Simone is really going to care who we think should have played and what for what, how long. So,
yeah. All right. So We're closing in on an hour here. Let's just do two other things about this game real quick, and then we'll get into the questions. First thing, I just want to shout out Augusto. Been out for 3 weeks, coming 100%. In, you know, playing this much. It wasn't like he didn't set the world on fire, but it was everything you needed from him today. He even had that breakthrough on the ball over the top from Bastoni that he rifled it into the side netting. But good to see him just being proactive, and I thought he played well, and it's a huge help to get a player off of injury to be able to give you. Did he go the full 90 today? No, 74 minutes. So 75 minutes after being out for a long time. So shout out him. I'm gonna kick it over to you for Tejan talk. It's the Tejan corner.
Was thrilled to see him come on. Was thrilled to see the pace that he was able to display there.
On the right-hand side.
On the right-hand side, dribbling. A willingness to take on his man, a willingness to beat his man, which we don't see from our two other right wing backs. One of them who has a diehard fan who refuses to acknowledge any threat to that position. And I'm going to be honest, it's a little ridiculous to have this bias against Tejan for whatever reason. He has never, ever had a single poor performance for this club. Not once. He's never looked out of place. He's never looked like he doesn't belong. He's never looked like the moment is too big or the competition is too much. I don't understand the disdain that some have for Tejan. You know, and I commented and quote tweeted somebody who said, you know, something along the lines of, you know, poo-poo cannon or whatever it was, something like that. And you know, if your whole thing is just being against him because he's Canadian, I don't know what to tell you. You know, to me, this is a different pro. Like, so I have a dislike for Jonathan David. I don't see an actual striker there. I see a heavy touch. I see finishing that doesn't really impress me. If you look at a lot of his goals, they are goals where the XG is high that you would expect a striker, don't care what country they're from, to be able to finish those opportunities. If you look at it just on numbers, it looks like he's such a prolific goal scorer. But if you watch the player play, you don't see anything impressive. Nothing jumps off the screen. Nothing screams. This is Inter quality.
He also plays in Ligue 1, which is
That's a big thing. Bakers and Flores, you know, are there. And, you know, I had a discussion with our good friend Alabama Sean, talking about Luis Openda, where I wasn't a big fan of his because of the goals that he was scoring.
I liked him.
I thought that there was a pacey player there with some ability, but when they talked about his goals, I mean, Alessandro, go look at his goals he scored in Ligue 1 last season.
they were and all tell me inside the box, like, or he just got behind.
But the go, back line. Go look at go look at them, and tell me that Serie A goalkeepers would play the same way. If you can tell me with a straight face that he would get those same goals and same opportunities in Serie A.
No, I get it. He's played well in the Bundesliga, and he's done well for the national team.
He's done great for Leipzig too. So I have no problem admitting I may have been wrong about that guy. I'd like to see a little bit more, but that was another one that I was not truly because of where they're playing. Now, you could say, well, you know, Tejan only played in MLS and then he only played in, you know, the Belgian Pro League. Fair. But he also played pretty successfully in the Champions League. You also see that the guy has blistering speed and ability to dribble, to beat his man. Those are things that can translate, don't care what league you're in. Now, finishing-wise and crossing, those were things that I was a little worried about, especially the crossing. You know, if you're going
to
be a wingback.
So close to one coming off today for Arnautovic.
Yep. And you see that there is, at least in my opinion, and people could disagree, but you see improvement in his crossing, where early on he was a little hesitant to do it, hit some a little too long, didn't really get enough bend on them, that they just kind of laid flat and defenders specifically were able to get to them. But we have nobody who can beat his man off the dribble. And you're going to tell me that you're not going to want him out there because you're anti-Canadian or you're a pro Dumfries guy and you don't want to see another guy succeed and take his place? I want the best players on the pitch. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you're from. I want to win every game. And I want guys who are going to put me in a position to win. Like I've said before, I don't have a problem with Denzel Dumfries. I have a problem with performances, and it's not that I want to see him fail. I want to see him succeed. I would rather be dead wrong about every single player at this club, but to be actively rooting against Tejan Buchanan and hoping for him to fail and talking trash and saying he's not Inter quality, then you're just not an Inter fan and you're just a fan of specific players and agendas. And you can go take that to Napoli. You could take that to Milan. You can take that to Torino, wherever, whatever other trash club you want to go support, go right ahead and do that. Because I don't got time for that BS. And I don't got time for people saying that, you know, you're just going to be biased against Tejan Buchanan because of whatever stupid agenda you want to push.
I agree. And he was hated on from the minute he got in here. And like you said, every single time he's touched the field, he's done something of note, or at the very least, he's been a player with a proactive mindset that's actively trying to like make things happen. But right now, the wingback situation, you're fully healthy as of, again, knock on wood, fully healthy, fully stocked. Everyone's ready to go. Dumfries, Darmian, Augusto, Di Marco, and Tejan. What is your expectation for Tejan's minutes? Again, now that he gets on the pitch for both Canada and Inter, and the minutes are starting to come under his legs, you feel like the worst thing that you can do for him is to not play him. But also, if you look at the depth chart, you feel like Inzaghi's got trust in the other four wingbacks over him. Where do you think it ends up as far as his playing time?
Here's my suggestion.
Or is he going to be able to play?
Here's my suggestion, even though I know it's not going to happen. You play him as much as possible till January. You see what you have. You see if there's a player that could actually be integrated into the rotation. And if not, loan him to another Serie A club, whether it's a Bologna. Actually, in my perfect world, it would be to a Fiorentina because I think Paladino would do wonders with him. I would have said Roma because of Ivan Juric, but now that you know he's gone, I don't think you know we saw what Juric did with Belanova. I think he could have done the same thing with Buchanan. No matter how you feel about Ivan Juric, I think he does work well with certain young players. And if you're not going to use him and you're going to just rely on Darmian, Dumfries, Di Marco, and Carlos Augusto, then loan him out. I would rather him gain valuable experience in Serie A.
if you're not going to really utilize him. Now, I think it would be a mistake.
Because he's the only player on the team that can beat his man.
Exactly. Exactly. And if you can't find a way to integrate that and give that player freedom to start from minute one and, you know, have a positive impact on your team and be able to unlock things that other players in this squad aren't able to do. And I think that he would work really well with Thuram in terms of pace and being able to beat their men and kind of do the same type of relationship that Hakimi and Lukaku had, where the forward lays it off, boom, down the channel, and there he goes. Thuram turns off, yep. Goes into the box.
That's a great shout.
And there you go. You got something that I'm not going to say it's going to be to the same level of Hakimi and Lukaku. Let's settle down. But I think that you can have the same type of profile and impact by allowing those two guys to play with one another and have that freedom to be able to start counters and just use their speed to beat opponents. I don't know what Interista, are you expecting him to be the Maple Maicon, the Maple Messi? Like what are you looking for? Do you want him to score 20 plus goals and have, you know, double digit assists and always, you know, putting highlight reel dribbling like Neymar and Ronaldinho out there? Then I think you're going to be disappointed and you're going to be having unrealistic expectations. So I'm going to be rooting for the guy. I'm going to be pulling for him no matter what. And I, for one, hope that he does get an opportunity to make a name for himself and carve out some time here, because like we've said, he's a guy that can do things that nobody else on this team can. I don't know why you wouldn't want to utilize that.
Yeah, it's if you were to contrast his situation with like Aslani, where it's Aslani, it's like Interista even saying like, show me what you have, show me what you have. And he's been getting those opportunities consistently on the pitch, and we haven't really seen the performances. But that in contrast with Tejan, which is like he rarely ever gets to see the pitch. But when he does, he shows you everything that you need to see in order to give a player more playing time. And it's still nothing. I guess, you know, maybe it's a function of the positions that they're playing, and there's just an easier path for Aslani, you know, to get minutes being the direct deputy to Calhanoglu as opposed to the amount of wingbacks that we have on the team. But the hope is that we're going to see him soon. All right. We're over an hour here. Let's get into some of these questions. We're going to skip some because we've been talking about a lot of these already. But let's go with at M6 Adam _. Hey, guys, I want to ask a different type of question. Let's say we don't win the league and come second. Which would you guys prefer, getting to the UCL final or losing or winning the Supercoppa and Coppa Italia? Very interesting question.
So he didn't mention the Club World Cup, so can I assume we get that trophy too?
If we get that one, I think then it's a really simple answer.
No, I know. I would rather get two trophies than go trophyless, personally. I just think that want to continue to win hardware. Do I truly value the Supercoppa and Coppa Italia? Not as much, of course, as I would a 21st Scudetto or a Champions League trophy. But at the end of the day, you want to be a club that's continuing to grow its cabinet. And I think that that also draws players to want to play for you and bring more success. So yeah, I would choose the two trophies, personally.
I wonder how much value like the commercial side of getting to two Champions League finals in 3 years actually equates to as far as like money in the bank and what we might be able to spend. Because I'm with you that I would rather pick up hardware, but it is the hardware that we've been picking up, and like we're kind of over that right now. It's like I don't think anyone really cares about it. So if you told the argument that I would say going to the final and losing over not picking up hardware is that if two Champions League final runs in 3 years nets us a significant amount of money and the commercial appeal of like maybe a serious investor comes in and buys the club, obviously that's a lot of speculation, but like if that was to occur, then you can argue that going to the final and losing and coming home with nothing might end up actually working better for the future of the club. But you know, it's not something that I can answer right now off the top of my head. Next question. Quality display from at Lee Theo 1. Quality display. Does that mean Correa would be the third striker at the club ahead of Taremian Arnautovic? We talked about this a little bit. Did you say you were putting him over Taremi officially, or is he just on fraud watch? We're just waiting.
Yeah, we're just waiting. You know, like I said, you know, we want to see how he does against, you know, a club that isn't Hellas. So he's on notice. Like Taremi's, I mean, Correa's ahead of Arnautovic, and Taremi's on notice.
Yep. Yep. I agree with that. All right. The last one, just because, let's finish this episode with riling Johnny up a little bit. Diego _ Cavaradona. Barella is so inconsistent. Why isn't anyone saying anything?
Is this real?
It's real.
Who is this? I feel like I'm being trolled.
That his username is Diego _ Cavaradona makes me think that this is a Napoli fan that decided to pop in and troll here for a second.
You know who I think this is? I honestly think this is Victor Strangeberg messing with me. I can see him doing something like this. And Victor, if I find out this was you, I will hunt you down in Denmark and I will beat you. What are we talking about? Inconsistencies? This guy's probably, along with DiMarco, been our most consistent player all season.
He did have the layoff for Aslani to play it across, so it's not even like he didn't contribute anything today.
You cannot tell me this. Wild. Wild statements. I'm convinced this person either is just trying to piss me off, or they haven't watched a single Inter game all season. I don't get it. just stick to watching Napoli then, please. Just stick to it. Don't go enjoy Matteo Politano for the rest of your life. How about that? And if you think you know Barella has been inconsistent, that is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't.
The hate is flowing through me right now. Absolutely flowing through me.
I don't have anything to say there. We are Barella stands here on this podcast. All right, time to wrap it up. Inter is, what are we? Napoli still has to play. Hold on, let me just pull up the actual standings. I think Atalanta won, so Atalanta is currently ahead of us on goal differential.
Which is crazy because we smacked them 4-0, but
tied on 28 points ahead of Napoli, 26 points with the game in hand. Fiorentina is on 25 with the game in hand. Same thing with Lazio with the game in hand. Milan and Juventus played out the worst game in Serie A this year. A 0-0 draw at the San Siro. Juventus in sixth place.
Is Thiago Motta a bust? Too soon?
I don't think he's a bust. What I think is that the expectation for him was way too high, number one. And number two, they spent a lot of money on that.
I was going to say.
Yeah, they spent a lot
of money.
Over
200 million spent, and you're still not doing...
Douglas Luiz. Kefren Thuram has been playing well, which I'm not surprised at all.
Thuram has been playing well. They bought Nico Gonzalez. They bought Di Gregorio.
Not seeing the pitch.
Cabal. Cabal's
been good. Cabal's out for the season.
Cabal, yeah. I mean, Cabal's out for the season. I get, you know, yeah. Bremer's out for the season. However, you did spend $200 million.
Yeah. You know, the biggest thing about this for me, it's not even the Juve side, it's the Milan side. You coming into the game, you're on 18 points in seventh place. Like, Bologna and Udinese can both leapfrog you. You're playing at home. your season is like, this is it right here. Like, you have to make a like, you have to at least go for it. And the fact that they were content to play out a KG nil-nil, it's baffling to me. Like, how many opportunities do you think you're going to get head-to-head clashes with teams that are ahead of you in the table where you can close the gap on them? You came into it on 18 points. You could have gone up to 21, and then still at that point, you're like 3 points behind Juventus. So, like, you needed 3 points today. The attitude in the game was from them was, like, shocking. Oh, a draw does nothing for you. Go for the game. If you lose, like, it's not like you're on 18 points, you know, right there with Bologna and Udinese. Like, go for it.
Wild, in my opinion.
No, well said. Well said.
Yeah. Anything to tell the listeners before we get out of here? Shout out JR for the Capitoto shirts. Awesome. I'll remember to wear them on the next pod.
All right, let's court. We'll both wear it for the next one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Leipzig.
Mr. Alpha Bravo, your cards were dropped off this morning, so they are on the way to you. I had to wait for the Federico Di Marco card to arrive, so pack them up, coming out to you. Congrats on winning the Fede number to 50 and the Ivan Perisic first on the print number to 25. That's pretty sick on the orange foil. I know we had talked privately about, you know, cards and value and stuff like that. I would recommend getting these cards graded and having them in cases for life, especially if you plan on keeping them in your own personal collection. So, yeah, that's it. And I thought I had something else, but no, I guess that's it.
All right. Inter beats Verona 5-0 away from home. Tied for top of Serie A for the time being. Let's go. RB Leipzig is coming up next in midweek. I don't know if it's Tuesday or
I think it
Wednesday.
Is Tuesday.
We played Saturday, so it's got to be Tuesday. Yep. All right. And we'll see you then. In the words of the great Roberto Scarpini, Forza ragazzi, Forza ragazzi, Forza ragazzi.